Yeah, so the series tonight that we're going to begin is Doctrines of Grace, as promised, and we're titling this, we'll call it the Mishuro series. This is, I seem to say that about every series. It's one of the most powerful series, but all of them are, because it's the Word. So here's my statement again. It's one of the most powerful series you'll ever run across. Am I right, Mishuro? I mean, it's a life-changing series. It's a series that really, those of us who maybe don't understand charismatic versus reform teaching and things of that nature, this is the baptism into reform theology. And reform theology, simply put, in my opinion, is really the correct way to interpret the Bible. I mean, let's just be real with it. I mean, others tend to be, eisegesis, which is imposing what you believe on to the text rather than pulling out of the text what God intended for us to understand from the text. This teaching right here has been a powerful teaching. This is what I taught for a summer with Brianna's college folks, and the Lord brought some people to reform theology from that using this exact series. It's a series that's good for your ability to apologize. You know what I mean by that? To defend. Remember, it's a Greek word, apologia, which means to defend. Peter says that we ought to be ready to give an answer for, you know, for the reason of the hope that's in us. Why do we have hope in such a dark world? Why do we have such peace? Why do we believe what we believe? We ought to be able to defend, apologia. Biblical apologizing means to defend what you believe. I believe this because the Bible says this. And you're able to give a mini lesson, if you will, to those who are asking you for a reason of the hope that you have inside of you. That's what this will help to do. In fact, all of this, one of the goals of Word of Life Ministry is to prepare you to defend your biblical beliefs. Not only to just understand them, yes, primarily. Why? To do it. To be obedient. But also to teach others, and then when you're challenged as to why you believe what you believe, to defend. So those are the four things. One, to understand. Two, to obey. Three, to teach others. And four, to defend why you believe what you believe. So this series is important for that reason, amongst many other things. The Lord is so gracious. It is a great segue from the Romans series, Romans 5, 12 through 19, into the doctrines of grace. And we call them the doctrines of grace because it's all about grace. It's grace alone. It's all about grace, the grace of God. For by grace we have been saved. Grace. And really, grace and mercy, really the Bible uses them interchangeably. I beseech you, beg you, brothers, Romans 12, 1, by the mercies of God. He could have easily said, by the graces of God that you present your bodies. And when he talks about those mercies, he's talking about in Romans 12, 1, all the mercies that were laid out from Romans 1 through Romans 11. And in those, he's laid out the doctrine of justification, sanctification. He called them mercies in Romans. It's called grace in Ephesians. Same thing. We've been saved by the grace and mercy of God. And that not of ourselves. You can't make your little nephew believe or your little cousin or your little knuckleheaded brother believe. You can't do it. What we must do, and this is what I'm hoping the Word of Life is teaching you correctly from the Holy Ghost, is we are to live this thing out properly. righteously. That's what the Word of God tells us, to live righteously and godly and holy in this present world. That's what we're to do. You live right in front of your knuckleheaded cousin, sisters and brothers and wayward uncles and fathers and so forth, co-workers. You live right and live right and live right. Then, if God chooses to use your living right to bring a person in, he can, because you've been living, you've been trying to live right. That's how my pastor friend, Rodney Pearson, Word of Faith, Texas, San Antonio, that's how he came to the Lord, or that's how, I'm sorry, a proper explanation should be, that's who the Lord used to bring him. Because remember, there is first a resurrection from the dead, spiritually speaking, right? Ordo salutis in the Latin, order of salvation. First, you got to be resurrected from the dead. You can't do anything spiritually if you're spiritually dead. You can't understand. You can't perceive. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus, except you are born again, you can't see the kingdom. And see means to perceive, recognize, and understand. Then he said a couple verses later, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom. Born again, regeneration, I believe, is synonymous with being resurrected from the dead. Excuse me. That's what I believe. Being resurrected from the dead is the same in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 5, is the same as being born again in John 3. Does that make sense? Because born again is symbolic of giving life, being made alive, coming to life. Even though technically speaking, you've been alive in the womb, but entering into this world. Well, I believe they're the same. Until you are raised from the dead, you can't believe, you can't receive, you can't hear any of that. And so we want to make sure we understand the order. All right. Having said that, that was an unintentional introduction there. But just thought about Miss Cheryl, and I get excited about her testimony because of the fact that... And I didn't know until she gave. That's why it's wonderful to give a testimony. She came to me and said, Pastor Harris, my head was swimming. I didn't quite understand what the word you was talking about. But you tell the Lord had raised her from the dead. Because when I told her, and I wasn't led to explain her, because you can't explain all this. This is way too much to be trying to explain. Remember talking about that on R.C. Sproul, you know, can a person be saved from suicide? And yes, next caller. And, oh, hey, wait a minute. We need more. Right. So I'm glad the Lord gave me, you know, and again, I didn't know that till you told me. And she told me, I told her, just keep on coming. Just come on back. Because I know it's going to take time. It's going to take time. And although we heard that back in, what year was that? When you first, 2015, 7 years ago. I don't care that you heard it 7 years ago. It might have hurt everyone. We talked for about a year on this. We need to hear it again. And the perfect setup was the series before this, Romans 5. When we talked about the chosen race. We were chosen. There was nothing we did that wiggled us up in there. It was unconditional. Unconditional. So let's jump into it. Let me turn on my chalkboard, my electronic chalkboard, because we're going to need it. Let me turn it on right off the rip here. And again, this is to inform for three reasons: to understand, to obey, to teach others, four reasons, and then to apologize, defend. So we're going to open up with some understanding so that you can defend. We're going to kind of go into apologetics in a sense in the beginning. There are three, for the most part, there are three schools of thought concerning the doctrines of grace. generally speaking, and I'm asking you or bringing this up to you because if somebody comes up and lets you know or have some questions about, or you hear something that's kind of strange, you're like, oh, I heard about that. You want to fire that person? I got nervous. I wonder, is that my phone? I guess you can't fire the pastor, but man. Okay. This is not working. Okay, well. Oh, that's right. Okay, great. Okay. I don't know what kind of thing I'm on here. Okay. I don't want to. I'm not sure why it's turning into text. I'm sorry. Because I really want to get this, demonstrated. Well, we'll just see what happens. There's three schools of thought. There's Pelagianism, that's P-E-L-A-G-I-A-N-I-S-M, Pelagianism. So that's a plagiarism. It turned into plagiarism. Lord, help me to get off of this right here. Yes, help me. I'm not sure what. Okay, well, it's spelled P-E-L-A-G-I-A-N-I-S-M. Boy, the enemy is just crazy. I've been doing this all this time. I have not had any trouble with that. That comes from a person whose name is Pelagius, P-E-L-A-G-I-U-S. And he was a teacher in Rome. He was British. He taught that man's nature is basically good. Now, already, that's a problem. All right, listen to me. Already, that's a problem. But he taught that man's nature is basically good. Now, that's what we believe. When I say we believe, I'm talking about mankind. That's what mankind believes, that man's nature is basically good. I don't care how evil people are, that's what we want to believe. Well, we can't believe that. We can't afford to believe that because the Word of God does not say that. But that's what he taught, that man's nature is very good. That teaching or that belief that man's nature is very good denies the doctrine of original sin. We just went over that. Romans 5:12, through one man sin of the world, death because of sin, and so death is passed upon all men. That's original sin, because all sinned. Original sin states that, which is the effect of the first sin. The first sin was disobedience. What was the effect? Death. Well, it denies that. It denies that. What Pelagius believed is that Adam's sin, Adam's disobedience, only hurt Adam and no one else. It only hurt himself. And everyone who came from Adam was not affected. Well, we know that's a lie because we just read that all sin and death came upon what? All men. 1 Corinthians 15, and Adam, all died. Remember we talked about through one man, disobedience, through the transgression of one, all of these things happened. It most certainly affected all kind of folks, but that's what he believed. Again, man is basically good. He denies that the doctrine of original sin by saying that Adam's disobedience only hurt himself and not those who descended from him. In other words, Adam's descendants, which we were not affected by his sin. Do we understand that so far? Adam's sin, Pelagius was taught, did not taint everyone who was born into the world. That's what Pelagius believes. I guess to put it in a nutshell, man was unaffected by the fall because he believed that the fall only was the effects of the fall only affected Adam. Now, why would he teach that? What's the motive behind that, if you will? People then, if people haven't fallen, think about this now, right? They're not sinners. Then they still have the ability to obey the commands of God. By exercising the freedom of human will apart from the grace of God. Say it again. As a result of teaching that man is not fallen, only Adam, that means that mankind maintains their ability to obey the commands of God by exercising their free will apart from the grace of God. Well, you see what that's Satan doing with that. Like, we don't need God. I can do this on my own. Patti LaBelle. Okay, that's the one. You might know the song I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay, see, I'm in the right place. Yep, okay. On my own with Patti LaBelle, and I think it was Michael McDonald or something like that. Yeah. Pray for me, though. Just pray for me. And you know, that's secular humanism. We love the glory. That's one of the things that it's like just hard to burn out of us. I speak to myself. You just love a little glory. Just a little praise and honor. And we love that. No. You can't do anything apart from God. He said, apart from you can do nothing. But yet, that's what he's teaching. So let's just say what he's teaching. That man again has ability to fulfill and obey the commands of God by exercising the freedom of their will apart from the grace of God. In other words, a person is free, totally free, and is totally capable of choosing God without the aid of divine intervention. Why? Because it believes man is basically good. Do you realize? No, you say, well, that's ridiculous, but you got to realize there are millions that believe that. Millions who believe that. Including, quote unquote, church folks. Pastors who teach that. That man is basically good. So he can choose. His will is totally free, and he can completely obey God apart from any divine intervention or without any aid from God. A person then is free and is totally free and capable of choosing to do good or bad. Well, that sounds like, and this is what he was about to say, that sounds like what Adam and Eve were before the fall. That's what he was teaching. Pelagius taught that a person is born with the same purity and moral abilities as Adam when he was first made by God. Completely ignoring the clear teaching in Romans 5:12 that death passed upon all men because all sin, aorist, active, indicative. once completed act that we committed, act that we did it, and it's a fact. Romans 5:23, all, 3:23, all have sinned, fallen short. All have sinned. Romans 3:10-19, no one is righteous. No one does good. No one. He believes that God's grace then is just simply an aid to help individuals come to him. Just help folks. Don't need it. Just help us. You know, I need a little help. And I use this grace to come on. And other than that, I don't have to have it. I can just go there on my own. Well, it makes sense if you don't know anything about the Bible. Well, if man is not, if man is basically good, then I can, you can see where all of that comes from. But the root is wrong. The foundation is gone. It's wrong to begin with. Man is a sinner. Feet are swift to shed blood. Poison of asp is in their tongue. The way of peace they have not known. Get all these descriptions. Romans 1 about we don't like to retain him in our knowledge. When we did know him as God, we didn't want to know him as God. We wanted to serve and worship the creature rather than the creator who created the creature. We choose to honor rocks and bugs and animals rather than God. Anybody but God. In a nutshell, Pelagius' teaching denies total depravity. Let's go on and get down to the real get down. It denies total depravity. We'll go over that to what that is. That man is totally depraved in every area of his life. Thinking, speaking, doing, living, seeing. All the contents of his heart, his intentions, purpose, deliberations. Are all, he denies all of that. Why? Because man is basically good, according to Pelagius. Why is that? Because he believed that only Adam failed and it affected no one else. When you talk and you're apologizing, you're defending, and you articulate their point of view better than they can, then you have a chance if that's the way the Lord wants to use it. Because I'm not talking about arguing. I'm talking about presenting the case and arguing. You don't use the Bible to strive. The Word of God talks about that in the pastoral epistles. When someone has a belief that they believe and they're strong in their belief, you need to end that conversation immediately. I was talking to a young lady, and I thought that she was there to get information. But what it was, she already had her set of beliefs cemented. And once I recognized that, I just got real quiet. I let her do all the talking. And then got off the phone. Thank you, Lord. And once you see that they are not, it's all over. Because realize you can't change the heart of an individual anyway. You never have been able to, and you never will. Once the Holy Ghost lets you know that that person is cemented in their beliefs, and those beliefs are contrary to the Word of God, then you need to gracefully, lovingly bow out of that conversation. But we're not going to go tit for tat and then go back and forth. Let you know, you get angry, say something you're not supposed to. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. I should have did what Pastor told me 10 minutes ago. I should have just shut my mouth, let her finish, let him finish, and then thank you very much. Is there anything else? Thank you very much. Get off the phone. He denies totally. What else also he denies is a substitutionary atonement, which means that Christ died on the cross as a substitute for sinners. He denies that. Here's a terminology, and I just don't know why it's not working right, but Pelagius believed in a libertarian free will. LIBERTARIAN. 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 Free will. I know that's real small. Free will. This is, let me just try to keep it simple as I can. Because sometimes we just don't think as deep. We just move on with free will and we don't think about all these other things. Sometimes people overthink, but libertarian free will means that our choices are free from the determination or constraints of human nature, which is silly, really crazy. You don't make a choice based on nothing. There's something driving you to make that choice. So that doesn't make sense. Why do you buy donuts? No reason. That's not true. You like it, like the taste. Everything comes from something within you. Why did you murder? I got angry. What he wants to say, if you say that free will is based on something, based on you, your thoughts, a decision, a drive, a desire, then it's not true free will. That's ridiculous. Eve ate of the fruit, the word of God says why. She looked, she saw, she desired. Because it would make you wise. She wanted to be like God. She believed the lies that Satan had told her, and she wanted those things, and so she desired it. But Pelagius wants to say, in order to be truly free, you can choose whenever, whatever, for no reason or any reason at all. There's no constraints to your freedom. That is the lie that humanists tell today. We want to be totally free. And Ms. Palmer is dropping, shaking her head. That's a lie. You know, true freedom comes only in Christ Jesus. And that's something. True freedom comes in being a slave. Wow, what? That don't make any sense. But he said, whom the Son of Man says free is free indeed. Indeed means for real, genuinely free, so not free. Gonna put it in hood talk. But where does that show enough real freedom come from? From the Son of Man, Christ Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom comes from God and God alone. Well, he would deny that because it comes from someone else. It's not within you. You say, that means to be a small thing. No, it's not. Now, I'm not going to get too deep in it, but just realize there's a reason why they're coming from that direction. You got to realize secular humanism, remember I told you it kind of crept into the back part of the sanctuary. Then it got a little bolder and then kind of sauntered up to the front row, and then it stomped up into the pulpit like a big dog. And then lastly, it took its place behind the pulpit where secular humanism now is being taught and disguised and sloshed over as gospel. A lot of what in Texas, what's his name? The real nice face. A lot of that is secular humanism. We don't want to offend. We don't make anyone angry. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. Concerning salvation, Pelagius teaches that man has the ability in himself, apart from divine aid, to obey God and earn eternal salvation. Now, technically speaking, I came up in that. I didn't know all these names, but I was apostolic. And they taught that you had to live right. Heaven belong, if you live right, heavens belong to you. If you live right, heaven, if you don't live right, it don't. And so you have people getting baptized 100 times because you sin and you back to being a sinner, you're going to get baptized again. They had all these, the apostolic, and I can talk about, I was in there for 40 years. The apostolics were very pharisaical. Wore lipstick, you're a sinner. Dressed too tight, Jezebel. You know, just got names for it, one word labels, bam. You know, just that. You can't work your way into heaven. It clearly says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone would boast. And we would boast. My grass is cleaner. My dress is looser. My face is uglier because I don't have no make lipstick on. And some people went so far as you couldn't even do your hair because that was a sin. It's amazing we come with all these rules. And a lot of those were some of the evilest people on earth. Just mean and nasty. Where it says, love your neighbor as your... Where is that at? You want to make sure you can wear no lipstick, you can wear no braids in your hair because there's no plaiting of hair. All works. Well, this came back way back then. It's not anything new. Apostolics didn't invent the black apostolics or black Pentecostals didn't invent that. It's been going on for centuries. That man has the ability in and of himself, apart from divine aid, to obey God and earn eternal salvation. Pelagius teaching is heresy. Heresy. H-E-R-E-S-Y. Heresy. That is a doctrine that is in complete opposition to the revealed word of God. It's false teaching. All right, let's go to the second one in the short time we have here. The second one is Arminianism. A-R-M-I-N-I-A-N-I-S-M. Arminianism. And that comes from the name. His name is Jacob Arminius. Jacob Arminius. So Arminianism comes from Arminius. A-R-M-I-N-I-U-S. Jacob Arminius. He was a Dutch theologian. Now, he did believe in total depravity. He did believe that a man's nature is so corrupted by the fall, which is correct, that apart from grace, no one would ever make the choice to convert to the Christian faith. So they were so corrupted that you needed grace. So far, so good. But this way, you got to be very careful in listening to what somebody said. Just like when the Islam dude tell you, or the female dude that tells you, I believe in God. You got to realize Allah and the God of the Bible are two different gods. Well, we all believe in God. No, we don't. Because my God is not your God. And you don't have to be snotty and, you know, but you can just politely tell them, no, sir, no, ma'am. They're not the same God. Well, you know, in many ways, you're to Detroit, you know. So, I mean, just we all end up in the same place. No, sir, no, ma'am. We don't end up in the same place. No, we don't. And again, if it want to turn into an argument, or you can just let the Holy Spirit guide you, you know, sir, ma'am, have a blessed day. And you go on and get your chips. But leave up out of there. Because emotion tend to run high in religion. Tend to run very high. So he's good so far that man's nature is so corrupt that we need grace to come to the Lord. Arminius does affirm the doctrine of total depravity. So far, so good. Human salvation is completely dependent upon God's grace. Ephesians 2, very good. Without which we would be helpless. Perfect. You say, well, okay, well, what's the problem? Here's the problem. There is something called prevenient grace. V-E-N-I-E-N-T. Prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. And I turn to preventing. P-R-E-V-E-N-I-E-N-T. It's almost like convenient, but it's prevenient. Almost before, so that it can become convenient. God decided to give prevenient grace to all men. That's what Arminius believes. He believes in universal prevenient grace. And what this grace does, so he believes that man failed, is corrupted, is totally depraved, but God gives this universal prevenient grace to all men, mankind, humanity, and restores their free will, which was impaired by the effects of the fall. For it restores their free will and enables them to choose or refuse salvation offered by God in Christ Jesus. So what prevenient grace does in the Bible, that's not nor in the Bible either. Prevenient grace does, it undoes the the effects of the fall. So they fail. Adam sinned. He believed in Romans 5:12. Death passed upon all men because all men sinned. Then God came and threw out this universal prevenient grace so that now every effect of the sin has been reversed. And now we can then choose salvation on our own. Or we can reject it. That's a little closer to what the Word of God said, but no, there's no prevenient, universal prevenient grace. Not there. That's Arminianism. Here's a third one. This is called semi-Pelagianism. Semi-Pelagianism. I can't resist. And the joke is, semi-Pelagianism is Pelagian's first cousin. Semi. Okay, nobody got that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You think about it, by 2 minutes, you'll get it. Okay, I'm sweating on that one. All right. Okay. All right, so semi. So it means you're not full. Remember, Pelagian, what he teaches is ungodly. There is no total depravity. Man is basically good. This is semi, meaning we're not fully there. Okay, so semi-Pelagianism, it does not deny original sin and its effect on the human race. It does not. So that's good. It believes in original sin. They believe that when Adam sinned, it affected everyone. But it teaches that God and man cooperate to achieve salvation. Now, is there a cooperation, or is that a, what is that word? It's monergistic. Mano, one. Erg, energy. One energy. The energy of one. What part do you play in raising yourself from the dead? What part do you play in being born naturally into the world? In both cases, none. There is no cooperation. It's a mono operation, an operation of one. Okay, but we understand that. What he believes is that God and man cooperate to achieve salvation. This cooperation is in the ability of a person to make a free, we will go back again, to a free will choice. See, this is why, semi-Pelagian, you believe that you, human being, have the ability to speak to somebody. If you know the Romans road to salvation good enough, that you can get somebody into the kingdom through your smooth speech and knowledge of the word of God. That's believed by millions today. Well, that's where this comes from. Again, it's not new. Pelagius was, he lived in the 5th century. So way, way back. We're in the 21st century. So this is not anything new at all. Thousands of years these beliefs have been going on. The semi-Pelagian teaches that man can make the first move towards God by seeking God out of his own free will. Can that happen? No, because she just said it with a hood showing up and then time. Nope, they did. And that's right. You cannot seek God. It says none seeks for God by seeking out of his own free will, and that man can cooperate with God's grace even to the keeping of his faith through human effort. No effort of our own. No goodness of our own. Not by works, lest any man would boast. We just read through all of that. We read through John chapter. We're going to go through all that again too. John chapter 1, where it says that who were born not of the will of man, not of blood, none of those things, but of God. God told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You can't make, you being in the flesh, can't have any success in the spirit realm. You can't make the Holy Ghost do anything because he's the one that's bringing forth the birth. Well, not according to this. You're believing that your works can bring you into the kingdom. And what this is teaching, and this is what we believe, I believed it for years until I was taught properly, that God responds to the initial effort of man. Say it again. This teaches that God responds to the initial effort of man. Initial. So, meaning man responds to the teaching of God and accepts the call, and then God chooses that person and saves them. Who's sovereign in that scenario? Man. Right, because man makes the move. God makes the choice based on what man does. So you're leaving it all in the hands of a sinner, if you think it through. And we don't think it through. We believe this for years and years because nobody broke it down and taught us this. We just believe what the preacher said. Pieces of verse, repent and be baptized. What says it right in the scripture? Acts 2:38. Mark 6:6, he that believes and baptized shall be saved. We believe that. Says it right there. We don't realize you're picking out scriptures, taking them out of context. We just believe what the preacher says. Or Matthew 28, believe baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Nothing was really explained. It came from centuries ago. God responds to man's efforts, and that God's grace is not absolutely necessary to maintain faith. I make a move, God responds, I'm well on my way. Don't really need God, but it's cool if he helps me out. That sounds crazy. as we close, this would mean that God responds to the initial efforts of man and that God's grace is not absolutely necessary to maintain faith. What's the problem with that teaching there? It's no longer grace. Because if God responds to your efforts, then that then becomes not you've earned it. God is responding to you because of what you did. That's not grace. Yeah, he's rewarding you for a work. That's payment. It's merited, not unmerited. You earn, that's what a merit, like a merit badge in the scouts. Yeah, you do something, then you earn a badge. It's not grace. What semi-Pelagian does, although it sounds kind of decent if you are not listening clearly and thinking it through, but what it does, it removes grace out of the picture, where it clearly says, for by grace you have been saved. We'll stop there. And thank you for your, and Lord, show me how to get this together here. I don't know what happened here. Father God, it's always disturbing, but yet necessary to go over theology, if you will, philosophy, teachings that are cropped up, so that we can be well versed when they come across our path, so that we can recognize this teaching as false teaching and then bring truth, the truth of your word, to it. I thank you for that. I myself was once probably some Pelagian, some Arminian, and some semi-Pelagian at one time. Didn't know any of that, never heard of none of these guys. But the untruths that I was believing are still just as damaging, whether I recognize them or not. That's what we're teaching this. Help us to recognize these falsehoods. And we pray for those that are caught up in these lies, that you'll bring them out just as you brought me out after 40 years. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's right. 40 years. Had no idea. You brought me out and brought me to the knowledge of the truth. Thank you, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.